Good morning. A big welcome to you to Evangel Church this morning. We're so glad you're with us today, and a big welcome to those who are joining us online. You're very welcome as well. Can you stand with us? We're going to continue to celebrate our Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to exalt him this morning, magnify and glorify his name. Are you up for that this morning? We're going to begin with Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hark the herald,
and hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sin is reconciled, joyful all ye nations arise. Join the triumph of the skies with angelic hosts proclaim. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn.
Christ by highest,
and Christ by highest hand adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, and late in time behold him come, an offspring of a virgin's womb, and veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. And hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Oh, we praise the Lord. Oh, 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 oh.
Hail the heaven,
and hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, and hail the Son of Righteousness. And light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wing. Mild he lays glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, and born to raise the second birth. And hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn. And hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn.
Yon angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight over all the earth. yeah, you sang creation stories, now proclaim Messiah's birth and come. Christ the newborn King, and come, come and worship Christ the newborn King.
Come on, let's sing it together. Shepherds Inn.
And shepherds in the fields abide, watching all your flocks by night. And God with man is now residing. Yonder shines the infant light. One come, come, come and the newborn King, and come and worship Christ the newborn King.
Sages, leave your contemplation.
And sages, leave your contemplations, build a visions for afar, and seek the great design of nations. Ye have seen his natal star, and come, come and worship the newborn King, and come and worship Christ the newborn King.
Saints, before the altar bending, all together.
And saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. And suddenly the Lord's descending, in his temple shall appear. And come, come, come and worship Christ the newborn King, and come, come, come and worship Christ the sing, come and come, come and worship Christ the newborn King, and come, come and worship Christ the newborn King. Worship Christ the newborn King, and worship Christ the newborn King. We honor you, Jesus. Honor your name. Same yesterday, today, and forever. We bless your name, Jesus.
Bless the Lord. We may be seated. This morning, we're going to move into our third Advent candle lighting this morning, and with that, Jess and Shanna are going to lead us there. But first, we're going to sing out the first verse of joy, joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing.
This third Sunday at Advent, our theme is joy. Joy is not merely happiness. If so, it would be a very elusive thing. Joy also isn't found in merely ignoring the negative aspects of life. True joy is found in the decision to trust in Jesus despite them. Joy is something we choose, an attitude, not based on circumstances, but based on God's promises.
Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." The thing is, most people want to know joy without fully placing their trust in God, but trust is the key. God is always who he says he will be. No matter how much our circumstances change, he does not. He is trustworthy, and therefore, as we place our trust in him, we can know joy despite our circumstances. Joy in the fact that we are in right relationship with God. Joy in the fact that this world is not all there is. Joy in all the ordinary blessings of an ordinary day.
Just as God's people of old found joy by placing their trust in the promise that a Messiah would someday arrive, we too can know true joy if we place our trust in God today, despite what we are facing. Today, as we light this candle of joy and choose to place our trust in God, he will help us share with others that they too know joy despite their present circumstances.
Joy to the earth,
singing it.
The Savior reigns. Let men their souls implore, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding,
repeat the sounding joy,
repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy.
So stand. Hey, no more let sorrows grow.
And no more let sin and sorrows grow. Nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to found, far as the
God of joy, bless your name forevermore. So we sing joy to the world. The Lord has come.
The Lord is come. Let her receive her King. And let
Amen. Good morning. You know, sometimes in this world with so much chaos, we wonder if anybody's in control. Everything seems to be out of control. But He rules and He reigns. Amen. And He's in control. Won't you say Merry Christmas, good morning to someone before you're seated this morning? Thank you. Please be seated. Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. Welcome to Evangel today. I want to welcome those of you who are here in the building this morning on this beautiful Sunday morning, and also for those of you joining us via live stream. And we know if you are a weekly live stream subscriber, that last week was a little frustrating. Our internet went down about partway through the message, and a part of the service was lost there. So hopefully we're going to do better today. But for those who do watch online, if you go into our website, there are audio recordings of the services as well. And we didn't lose those when the Wi-Fi went down. So you can go there and make up for that. If today is the first time that you've been at Evangel or you haven't been here in a really long time, we want to extend a special warm welcome to you this morning. Tell you that we're glad that you're here. And just invite you to take the connection card that you'll find in the chair pocket in front of you. If you would fill it out, we would like a record of your visit, but we'd also like to be able to offer to come alongside. And if that's something that you would require, indicate that on the card. And you can take your card to the information desk in the foyer at the end of the service. You can hand it in there, and there is a small gift there for you. It's actually a Christmas gift because it's Christmas, so and it's a gift, so it's Christmas gift. I do have a few announcements today. All of a sudden, we're just like right in the middle of everything, and there are some things I want to remind you of. Thank you for those of you who have been contributing so far to our food drive for Kerr Street Market and supporting Kerr Street Mission and continuing to track with them. And just incredible the challenges that many people in our community are facing. And I know there was one point not too long ago that we were talking about 800 people being served per week at Kerr Street Market at the Kerr Street Mission. And I just read yesterday, or maybe it was even this morning, that it's at this point right now, it's over 1,300. And so the demand is just incredibly great. So over these three Sundays, last Sunday we started today, next Sunday will be our final day, and then we'll take things over to there. And we're just collecting dry pasta and canned tomato sauce and products. So if you can contribute to that, thank you. And if you have already, want to thank you as well. Next week, we have a very special Christmas service in the morning, and it will be followed by our annual Christmas social, and all of you are invited, and we invite you to bring your friends, your family, and to celebrate with us next Sunday morning, the 17th, and so just please keep that in mind. Also want to remind you that December 24th, it being Sunday, December 24th, being Christmas Eve, we are going to be doing our service at 4 p.m. rather than 10 a.m., so just keep that in mind. We'll be doing our carols by candlelight service at 4 p.m., and we want to invite you to be a part of that as well. For those of you who use tithing envelopes, they are available today in the foyer next to the information desk on the kiosk there. You can go by, they're in alphabetical order, and you can pick them up, and they are for 2024. If once we hit 2024, we ask you to please stop using 2023. I know it feels wasteful, and I'm like that too. It's like it's a perfectly good envelope, but it is very confusing for counters and for recording when we're using dated envelopes from the year previous. So you can discard those or make crafts or re-gift them, whatever you want to do. But when you pick up your 2024 envelopes, you can start using those in January. You may notice that your numbering has changed, and that's because the majority of people now are using e-transfer in their giving, and they're not using the envelopes, and so therefore we have condensed the numbers down to a smaller size so that we don't have to order, say, 150 numbers of envelopes if only 40 people are using numbered envelopes. So your number may have changed, and I hope that's not a... It won't be an issue as far as your receipting goes. I hope it's not a nostalgic issue for you, but just know that if you notice your number is different, that is why. For youth, I just want to remind you that this coming Thursday at 7 p.m. is your youth night, and it is a potluck Christmas party. If you're too spiritual to use the word luck, it is a pot blessing Christmas party, whatever works for you. But that will happen next Thursday at 7 p.m. We're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings at this time. And also just to remind you that we are close to the end of the year. And November was actually a good month in our general offering. So thank you for your generous giving. There's just a few weeks left to give to hit our 2023 budget and to get receipts for this fiscal year for your income tax purposes. So we just encourage you to continue to give and to in that regard. And so you have another few weeks to do that. If you have children this morning, newborn to age 3, you can go through these stairs, down the stairs, and right there you'll see our nursery. You can take your child there anytime up to age 3, newborn up to age 3. If you have children in age 4 up to grade 5, I'm going to ask them to go around, go through these doors, and they'll meet their leaders right outside these doors and go downstairs this morning. God bless you as you give. I think I got everything. Well, no criticism from over here, so I think I got it all. Oh, of course, yes. Yeah, social is a lunch. And it's free. It's a free lunch. Okay, thank you. God bless you. John, I'll hand it back to you as you continue to lead us this morning.
In the darkness, we were waiting without hope and without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son. Spirit, three in one.
Praise
behold you. Yes, and we honor you. Yes, we behold you. Every eye is upon you. Jesus, worthy is your name. Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Come on, every eye, every. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is, come on, as if lift your voice this morning to the King, to our Creator, to our Maker. We bow before the Lord our Maker. Sing it out. And worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. Oh, oh. For the season, make your name known. Make your name known.
Mm-hmm.
Lift your voice to Him this morning. Let it loose this morning. Just lift up your praise, your worship, that adoration to the throne room of heaven this morning. This is what we were born for. We were born to be worshipers. Lift up your voice. Bless your name, Jesus. Be glorified. Be glorified. Honor your name. Let's sing it again. Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you are welcome right here. Come flood this
place and fill the
atmosphere. Oh Lord, your glory, God, is what our hearts
want
to be overcome, Lord, by your presence. Lord, oh Jesus, your presence, Lord, yeah. Let us become more aware of your presence.
Yes, Lord,
let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness one more time. Become more aware
of your presence.
Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Come on, one more time. Come, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come,
flood this place. This town, this city,
fill the atmosphere.
Lord, we know you're here. By faith, we believe you're here. We believe that because you promised to be where we are. Always be with us, to never leave us. So our prayer this morning is not that you would be here because you are. Help us to know that you're here. We pray that your Holy Spirit would resonate with our spirit this morning and be reminded that Emmanuel, God with us, is in this place this morning. You are all we want. You are all we need. Jesus, continue to minister to us this morning as we consider your word. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you're seated, our scripture reading this morning is found in Luke chapter 2, and we are going to read verses 25 to the first part of verse 27. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. This past week, I attended the annual Oakville Prayer Breakfast. This year was the 40th anniversary of the Oakville Prayer Breakfast. And I was actually sitting with someone who had attended all 40, even the online ones during COVID. Attended all 40. I think I've attended maybe 10 of them in my time. And so they brought highlight to the fact that it was the 40th anniversary, which is important, and they gave a little historical overview to those who were there, many of whom had only been a part of it in recent years. Many were only there for the very first time this year. And so to honor the milestone, they gave a historical overview of how the Oakville Prayer Breakfast began and who were the individuals that were instrumental in launching it 40 years ago. And so as that short little list was read, there were two names on that list that of founding committee members that were very familiar to me. Milt Farrell and Ray Chan were two of the founding committee members named at that 40th anniversary prayer breakfast. Now, there were many in the room that had no idea who Milt Farrell or Ray Chan were. In fact, some of the other names, I didn't know who they were, but some other people would have known who they were, because it was long before their time. But I knew who they were. And I was actually very moved and very proud of the reminder of the great legacy that they both have left in so many areas throughout their lives. Folks, in any great story, there are people who make significant, important contributions. Yet somehow, sometimes their contributions get lost, missed, even forgotten in the bigger story over time. Time has a way of doing that. Now, today is the final message in our 3-week Christmas sermon series, which we've entitled The Spirit of Christmas, where we've been focusing on the emphasis that Luke places to establish the work of the Holy Spirit in these birth narratives of John and Jesus in Luke chapter 1 and 2. And when we reflect on this biblical Christmas account, as I've said each week, we often focus on the angels and the shepherds, Joseph and Mary, the wise men, and rightfully so, because they're a huge central part of this story. But in doing that, sometimes we miss the important contribution of others in the story of God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And I believe Luke 2 highlights two people whose contribution to the Christmas story is significantly important, yet often lost in the bigger story. Simeon and Anna. Rarely, if there is a reproduction of the manger scene, we'll put the wise men in there, even though they showed up 3 years later. But you don't usually see Simeon and Anna in there, right? Today, we're going to focus on the dedication of Jesus at the temple. And we're going to be reminded, as we do, that the Holy Spirit works through those who are faithful, declaring God's people salvation for all people. The Holy Spirit works through those who are faithful, declaring God's salvation for all people. So let's walk through. We're going to start with the parents today. Luke chapter 2 opens with a very familiar part of the Christmas story for us. There's a decree from Caesar Augustus for a census requiring that everyone return to their hometown to register. Hometown meaning not where you currently reside, but where you're from. Now, I don't know about you, but I can really resonate with this because in Newfoundland culture where I come from, a common question to be asked by older people when they meet somebody new is this: where do you belong to? Where do you belong to? I know there's some grammar issues there, but if you've studied Newfoundland language, there's a lot of grammar issues. And that's what makes it so colorful. When they ask this question, they're not asking where you live. If someone was to say to me, 12 years into living in St. John's, where do you belong to? I don't say, well, St. John's. Oh, no. I say Lewisport because that's where I came from. They want to know where you came from. And often this question is asked because, well, they want to determine sort of your origin of your family. And there's just a chance that maybe they know somebody from your hometown. When I was at the 70th anniversary of our church, I was sitting for a few minutes visiting a few people at the banquet table, and there was a man there that was in his 80s, and he had worked with my dad like 100 years ago, it seems. He had worked with, oh, I know your dad. I know your dad. Who was your dad? I know your dad. And so it just helps you understand a family. So this is what's happening here. They're not doing the census in the towns they live in. It's easier for the Romans to get accurate records by having each family travel to the hometown of the male or the husband of the family where they originated, where they came from. And so in response, Joseph and a very pregnant Mary set out for Joseph's home, Bethlehem, the town of David, to register. Well, why? It says because he belonged to the line of David. This is the city of David, and he belonged to the line of David. Sorry, I have to drink today because I've had a cough, and I'm taking things to soothe that, and then that makes me thirsty. So it's just the cycle we're in. That was just for free, just to let you know. And so while in Bethlehem, Mary went into labor. And it's a rural hospital, and because of shortage of staff, the emergency room was shut down. No, that's our story. There's no rooms available, and Mary gave birth, we're told, in a stable and wrapped Jesus in cloths and lay him in the manger. And then the angel, followed by a host of angels, appeared to shepherds in the field, announcing that the Messiah was born and where to find them, and the shepherds ran and found the family as they were told. And so this is a significant piece of the Christmas story that I move through very quickly that normally in the Christmas season I would be focusing on. But it's the next verses that I really want us to focus on this time around. In verse 21, the story shifts. The shepherds are there, they're worshiping the newborn king, and then the story shifts to a little bit later. And the first thing we're told in verse 21 is that Mary and Joseph, and Luke refers to them in verse 27 Luke calls them Jesus' parents. And in 27, in verse 33, he calls them Jesus' father and mother. So, we see Mary and Joseph, and they're following the Jewish custom of having their male child circumcised while he was 8 days old. And at that moment of 8 days old, Jesus is circumcised and he's given his name. He's named Jesus, as the angel said he would. And then we get to verse 22. Now, verse 22 is a second event known as the time of purification. These are two very different, very separate events. Because under Jewish law, a woman was considered unclean after the birth of a child for 40 days. And some people think, well, that's kind of cruel to women. Actually, I believe God puts it there to protect women from very, terrible men. So it allows a woman 40 days to recover and to from giving birth. And so once the 40-day mark arrived, the time of purification arrived. And the male child at that point, at the time of purification, would be brought to the temple with the mother and the father, and a sacrifice would be offered up on behalf of the child. And so Mary and Joseph traveled to the temple in Jerusalem to present Jesus to the Lord and offer up their sacrifice as per the law. And the sacrifice required, very clearly in Scripture, was a lamb. However, if the family could not afford a lamb, they were allowed to offer two turtle doves or two pigeons instead. This was the sacrifice of a poor family. And if you read Luke chapter 2, this was the sacrifice of Mary and Joseph because they were poor. They were a poor family. And so what we see here is we see a young, poor family setting out in life with a baby ready to begin life together. That's what we see when we start Luke chapter 2. Next is Simeon. In contrast to this young family starting out, Luke introduces us to Simeon. Simeon is old, and he's near the end of his life. The contrast. We're not given his positional credentials. We don't know what office he holds. We don't know what position he might have. We're not told, because I think for Luke, that's not important. What Luke tells us, and what's important for Luke to tell us, is that he was righteous and he was devout, meaning he was faithful to following the law of God. He was a faithful servant of God. But Luke also tells us, and we read this morning, that the Holy Spirit was upon him. And Luke tells us that not only was the Holy Spirit upon him, but the Holy Spirit revealed to him that, Simeon, you are not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. Christ means anointed one. So when you say Jesus Christ, you say Jesus the anointed one. When they say, are you the Christ? Are you the anointed one? The anointed one was the Messiah. The Christ was the Messiah. And so God had told him by the Spirit that he was going to live until he saw the anointed one. And so we're told that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation means to summon and wait for help. To summon and wait for help. He was waiting for God to help Israel by sending the Messiah as God had promised so long ago. What an exciting moment to know that after decades and generations of waiting, the Spirit has told him he will see it. In his lifetime. And so when Mary and so not only does Luke tell us that he has the Spirit upon him and that the Spirit spoke to him, but then Luke tells us that Simeon was moved by the Holy Spirit in some moment of time to go to the temple courts. You need to go to the temple now, Simeon. And when Mary and Joseph arrived to carry out these duties, the sacrifice of based on the time of purification, Simeon was there. What a coincidence. No. The Spirit is clearly in control here. And so if Simeon took the child in his arms, can you just imagine this moment? He takes this child in his arms, and if it was me, I would have smelled the baby's neck, because like there is no better smell than that ever, right? He took the child in his arms, and he began to praise God, and he said, as you have promised, as you have promised, you can now dismiss me. I can now die in peace because my eyes have seen your salvation firsthand. And then Simeon, with the Holy Spirit on him and directing him, makes some really significant statements about what this child will be. Very prophetic statements. This child, Jesus, Simeon says, was God's salvation. Now, what is interesting is he doesn't say that Jesus is God's salvation for the Jews only. He doesn't say that. In fact, he says something very different. He says, this child is God's salvation for what? All people. All people. And he goes on to elaborate on that and says, a light for the revelation, a light of revelation for the Gentiles. This God's salvation is a light of revelation for the Gentiles and for the glory of Israel. Israel is the nation through which all the nations of the earth would be blessed. God promised that to Abraham, but God's salvation was not just for Israel. And Simeon, inspired and empowered by the Spirit, is reminding all of those present in this moment that this is the truth. Now, what I think is important to understand is to understand Simeon's words in light of where the words are being spoken. I think that's really important. They are at the temple in Jerusalem. The temple was the center of Jewish worship. Only Jews were allowed to enter into the inner courts. And even then, the women were confined to the court of the women. They couldn't go as far into the courts as the men could go. And Gentiles, well, that's another whole story. They were seen as a threat to the purity of the temple, and they were restricted to the court of the Gentiles. So they were further out even than the women. In fact, any Gentile who went beyond the area designated for them would face the death penalty. A stone barrier was constructed. They built a wall to discourage Gentiles from moving past the designated space. And according to historians, there were 13 signs, I don't know why 13, prominently displayed warning of death if Gentiles went beyond the barrier. This wall is here to keep you out. You go beyond this wall, we will kill you. And we're going to tell you 13 times. In Acts 21, Paul's accused, another sermon for another time, but he's accused of bringing Gentiles past the barrier. And they want to kill him. They're trying to kill him because he did that. So it's against this backdrop, it's against this context, this environment, that Jesus is presented in the temple for all people, even those deemed unqualified, even those with restricted access. That he's a light to these very impure Gentiles, the ones that the Jews were trying to keep out, they would be the focus of Jesus' salvation too. And so what's happening in this moment is that these walls are figuratively coming down. And we know in 70 AD, they would literally crumble, just as Jesus predicted. Mary and Joseph marveled at what was being said about Jesus, it says. And then Simeon then blessed them, and then he spoke to Mary, the mother. And he said, Mary, this child is destined to cause the rising and falling of many in Israel. He will be spoken against, and he will reveal the hearts of many. And Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul too. It's important that he said this to Mary. Because I want us to go back to last week. He's saying this to Mary, the very person who in her own prophetic song that we looked at last week declared that God was about to bring down the mighty and lift up the humble. And as we read the text, she is all the way from Nazareth out into the Judean hillsides at her cousin's place, Elizabeth. And when this is happening, she is making a statement about this child who is going to bring down the mighty and lift up the humble, a God that would fill the hungry and send the rich away empty. And here we are, this time later, in a completely different place, a person who was not privy to that experience and basically is saying to her the exact same thing. He is confirming what was said, that this child is the rising and falling of many. There's going to be upheaval in Israel because of this child. A reversal is going to happen. The lowly are going to be lifted, and those who are mighty are going to be brought down. Because his kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. And then finally, we have sweet little Anna. Not much said about her, but what's said about her is wonderful. One final character introduced into the story. A prophetess. Prophetess is not a lesser prophet, it's just a female prophet. It's the female word for prophet. She's a female prophet. She's a Jew from the tribe of Asher. And like Simeon, she's really old. We're told that she had only been married for 7 years when her husband died. And that she lived as a widow from that time on until she was 84. So well over 60 years, without question. Well over 60 years living as a widow. We're told that she never left the temple. She likely had a room there. And what was her role? What was she doing? Well, it says she never left the temple. She was serving at the temple. She was fasting and praying day and night at the temple. Her work was incredibly important. And like Simeon, she and many others like her, they were waiting for the consolation of Israel. They had cried out for help. I've fallen and I can't get up. And waiting for someone to arrive. Lord, help us. Lord, bring mercy. Waiting for the moment to come day and night. And she just happens to be in the temple on the same day as well. But it works out because she's always there. So it's, you know. And so she walked up to Mary and Joseph while they were with Simeon. And she began to give thanks to God. And she began to speak about the child to others who were like her and Simeon. Others who were gathered there, longing, waiting, hoping, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. Now, what I want us to note is that there are no high-profile people that are central to this story in terms of temple workers or priests or powerful people. What you see in this story are faithful servants of God. Faithful servants of God who were empowered and led by the Holy Spirit. And it says, after this, Mary and Joseph returned to Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, and the grace of God was upon him. There are two things that I would like to focus on as we wrap up our series this morning that I believe this scripture teaches us. The first, it teaches us something about legacy. Legacy. I don't know about you, but I'm getting older every day. Is that anybody else's experience? Yeah. And as we get older, I believe our legacy becomes a higher priority for us. I didn't think a lot about my legacy when I was in my early 20s. I think a lot more about it now. We start thinking about what lasting impact are we having? What lasting impact are we having on our families? What lasting impact are we having in our careers, in our workplaces? What lasting impact are we making in this world where people are suffering and struggling? What major impact am I having for the kingdom of God as I faithfully follow Christ? I think we often consider legacy in terms of performance and success. Growth in certain areas. In culture, we live in a world that is performance-driven, that is success-driven, growth-driven. Most businesses don't sit back and say, I really hope in 2024 our business shrinks and our income goes down and we have to lay off a lot of people. That's not the goal. We live in a performance, success, growth-driven culture. Was there financial success? Did profits increase? Did expansion happen? These are the questions that our culture asks to deem whether something has been successful. And the truth is, we often see similar themes within the church, within relationship with Jesus Christ, within the kingdom of God. Because the truth is, for many years now, since the 90s really, the focus of church growth and leadership has focused on the church primarily as a business. It really has. It's hard to find a lot of resource material that doesn't put emphasis on things that are not much different than you would look at in secular business. The focus of church growth and leadership as a business. Measuring growth in terms of financial and numerical growth. That a successful church is a church that's increasing in giving. A successful church is a church that is increasing in congregational size. And so we analyze data. And we ask questions like, well, how big is the budget income? How many people attend on Sunday morning? How many small groups do you have? How big are your youth and young adult groups? How many kids in your kids' ministry? How many poinsettias did you place at Christmas? I'm sure many of you are not staying awake at night wondering about that, but just. And while there is no question, please hear me, there is no question, there are many business aspects to a church. There just are. And that growing financially and numerically is not only helpful, but critically important to carrying out mission. If all our dollars and people are doing is just keeping us in business without advancing the mission, then it's not working for us. So those things are important, but they are not necessarily indicators that a church is successful. In fact, I'm not sure the church is called to success as the world defines success at all. And I'll be the first to admit to you that I fall into the pressure of performance as much as the next person. And if any of you know me well, you know that. I've often looked back over a period of ministry and looked at it and thought, nothing was accomplished in that period. That everything was a complete failure. There's nothing to show for it. Because I'm focused on certain indicators for success. But at the end of the day, when I process that dysfunction in my life, I tend to agree with Mother Teresa, who said, God has not called me to be successful. He has called me to be faithful. Called me to be faithful. Simeon and Anna weren't celebrated as successful leaders. Their credentials when Luke introduced them was, well, you know, Anna did this, and because of this, the prayer, intercessory prayer ministry at the temple tripled under her leadership. It didn't say that. It didn't tell us all the committees that Simeon was on, or how many buildings he built, or how much funds he raised. It doesn't tell us any of that at all. They weren't celebrated as successful leaders who increased performance and revenue and growth. They were celebrated as faithful servants of God. People who trusted God. People who gave their lives to serving Him. They were obedient to the Holy Spirit's leading and prompting. You know, Simeon wasn't sitting back watching the morning news when the Holy Spirit prompted him and said, go to the temple. And he's like, I'm really up to it today. Feeling a little tired. I think I'll skip out. No, when the Spirit led, they followed. They went. They were faithful. In the story of Jesus' birth, the rich are absent. The religious elite are absent. But the faithful few got to celebrate the Messiah firsthand, to hold them in their arms. Folks, the best legacy is a legacy that is defined by faithful service. The best legacy is a legacy that is defined by obedience to God. The best legacy is a legacy that is defined by patiently waiting. The best legacy is a legacy that's defined by being filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. The best legacy is a legacy that's defined by growing into the likeness of Jesus. I'd rather have 20 people that look like Jesus than 20,000 who only care about the budget and numbers. The best legacy is a legacy that is defined by how we love others based on the way Jesus modeled it for us. That's the best legacy. Financial and numerical growth are important. And please get your offerings in before year end. But they never should be prioritized above faithfulness. They should never be prioritized above faithfulness as the indicator of success. Simeon and Anna teach us that. And secondly, inclusivity. In the first sermon in this series a couple weeks ago, I quoted Joel chapter 2, verse 28, that prophesies about the latter or last days. And just again, if you weren't here, Jews saw time in two eras. The former days being the time leading up to the coming of the Messiah, and the latter or last days as the time from the birth of the Messiah to the end. And so Joel is prophesying about what it will be like when the last days, the latter days, because they were living in the former days at that time, we're living in the latter days, but they were living in the former days. And when Joel, under the inspiration of the Spirit, brought this prophecy, he talked about what it would be like at the future time when the Messiah arrived. And we looked at this on week one, where Joel said, this is what God said, I will pour out in that time, in the latter days, when the Messiah comes, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, and even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. In chapters 1 and 2 of Luke, which is the whole point of why I did this 3-week series, he goes to great lengths to show us that the latter days have arrived. And we see the Holy Spirit being poured out on all people. And we see it continued through Acts and other places. We see male in Luke's account of the birth of Jesus and John. We see Zechariah and John and Simeon. And then we see females, we see Elizabeth, and we see Mary, and we see Anna. We see old, Zechariah was old, Elizabeth was old, Simeon was old, Anna was old. But we see young, John was young, Jesus was young, Mary was young. We see a common thread in the prophetic speech of a Messiah being born who will be responsible for the lowly being raised up and the mighty being brought down, the hungry fed and the rich sent away empty, a Savior for all people, a light to the Gentiles. God's salvation through Jesus is diverse and it is inclusive. God's salvation tears down barrier walls and makes salvation possible for the least likely, the rejected and the judged. And I want us to know this morning, as we consider the message of the gospel, Jesus welcomes male and he welcomes female. Jesus welcomes young and he welcomes old. Jesus welcomes insiders and Jesus welcomes outsiders. Jesus welcomes the rich, he welcomes the poor, and all of those who are somewhere in between. Jesus welcomes the devout and Jesus welcomes the sinner. Jesus welcomes every person of color, every ethnicity, every race. Jesus welcomes the educated, and he welcomes the uneducated. Jesus welcomes heterosexuals, he welcomes homosexuals, he welcomes transgender, and any other sexual identity somebody might have. The word gospel means good news, and this, my friend, is the good news. And the good news is this, that God so loved this world, every single person in it, so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. that God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. I love the meme that says, Bible says God did not send his son to condemn the world. If God didn't send his son to condemn the world, I doubt he sent you. We'll leave that right where it is. Not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Jesus' salvation is for all people. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And if Jesus welcomes everybody, then I want to welcome everybody. And I want our church to welcome everybody. And I want you to welcome everybody, because I want us to do what Jesus would do. It's inclusive. It's inclusive. I didn't plan the music. It just happened. I'm going to invite the worship team back. Folks, the Holy Spirit works through those who are faithful, declaring God's salvation for all people. The best legacy is a legacy that is defined by faithful service, obedience, patiently waiting, being filled with and led by the Holy Spirit, growing into the likeness of Jesus, loving others the way Jesus modeled and has called us to do the same. Jesus' salvation is for all people. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And Jesus is welcoming us all this morning. Would you stand? I'm going to ask our worship team to lead us this morning before we pray.
Our Father, all of heaven rows your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven. Let's sing it again. Our Father. Our Father. All of heaven roars your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. King Jesus, King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here. We want a King Jesus. We sing, King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here. We want a spirit breakout. Spirit breakout. Break our walls down. Spirit breakout. Heaven, come down. Spirit, would you break out? Spirit, break out.
Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down.
Holy Spirit.
Lord Jesus, as we find ourselves presently today, in the latter days, in the last days, awaiting your return, awaiting the full coming of your kingdom. Lord, may we, like Simeon and Anna, be found to be faithful servants of the Lord, who live our lives wholly devoted to you, obedient to the leading and guiding of your Spirit, patiently waiting when you require of us to wait. And Lord, I pray that our lives as your followers will not be focused on what walls we can build, but what walls can we tear down, so that the love and grace and mercy of God can reach those deemed to be unworthy, which in actuality is all of us. All of us unworthy. Lord, we pray that everywhere we go and everyone we meet, that the salvation of Jesus Christ would change their lives. That your love and your mercy and your grace would penetrate deep and bring healing and wholeness and love and mercy and value. Lord, let us be instruments of your grace. As we too are filled with your Spirit, as we too desire to be led by your Spirit, help us to be faithful and sensitive to the leading of your Spirit, that we might always be where we need to be, doing what we need to be doing in the way that honors you. And Father, today we pray for those who are not able to be with us here in this service. We recognize that, Lord, there are many who are sick at this time. We know that COVID COVID levels are rising and many people are getting sick. And we pray today for your healing, for comfort, and for strength. We pray for those recovering from surgeries. We pray for those who are struggling through serious health issues. Lord, today we pray that you would bring healing and strength. We pray for those who are seeking your direction in decisions. We pray for families that are struggling, Lord. We pray for those who are financially hurting. We pray for every single person who will eat every grain of pasta from the table at the back of our church, for your blessing and your love and your provision in their lives, God. And Father, as we leave this place today, may we leave determined that our legacy will be a legacy of faithfulness. A legacy of faithfulness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.